What's going on, everybody? This is a special edition of the KCSU Sports Podcast. It's a special time of the year. March is here. I think we can all agree the best sports month of the year. Obviously, Caleb Allen, Austin Martin, way down at the end of your screen. We have our sports producer, Max Ebert, and a special guest, Damon Cook from Rocky Mountain Student Media's Collegian. Fellas, how we doing? It's been a long week. We're getting ready for March Madness here. What's going on, Damon and company?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited for the best, like, 4 days. I love the round of 64 and round of 32. Best 4 days of sports.
Should be a lot of fun. Before we jump too far ahead in NCAA, Austin, you and I just got back from the Mountain West Championships. It was a wild week. I think the tournament was probably, if I can speak for all of us, what we all expected it to be. Now, maybe the winner, not so much. But Austin, just your experience this last week covering both the men's and women's side of Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. I mean, my first time down there, and I think the Mountain West Conference tournament lived up to the hype. All season long, we're talking about, you know, this is going to be a multi-bid conference, you know, 5+, 6+, and we did get the 6+. We'll get into more of that in a sec too, but I thought it lived up to the hype, and not only was the Mountain West Conference tourney ridiculous, across the country, all the conference tourneys seemed like they had some crazy moments going on. I think the craziest one, I forget what the conference was, where the dude, they were up one and they got a foul. They didn't need a foul, and they ended up making the free throws and stealing the conference tourney away from them. I thought that was like one of the craziest moments of that whole weekend, but a lot of fun moments. And I think the Mountain West Conference was one of the best tournaments.
Damon, looking at the Mountain West Conference, it was a week of some of the highest level basketball in the country. I mean, obviously New Mexico winning it. Well, I don't think I was on many people's bingo cards, but who did you guys have going into the tournament? Were you surprised by the run that, I mean, I've been saying for months that a team that was playing on Wednesday wasn't going to win that tournament. I don't think I was crazy by saying that. I think a lot of people could find agreement in that, but here we are. A few days removed, and a team that was playing 4 games in 4 days ended up winning the entire tournament.
Yeah, I was super surprised as well by the fact that UNM came away with that. It was not who I had predicted. I kind of, going into that, I didn't think it was going to be San Diego State, but having it turn out to be the Lobos, which honestly, the things I saw from the Lobos throughout the season wasn't inspiring of a conference tournament. So I was really surprised that they won. Going into the conference tournament, I think I had the, blanking now, I had either had SDSU getting it or my pick would have been Nevada. I thought Nevada had been pretty good all season, but just didn't work out. It was actually really good to see CSU beat them for the first time this season. So,
Damon, your thoughts on the Mountain West Conference and what New Mexico did over 4 days?
I thought the Mountain West tournament was kind of as advertised. We knew the Mountain West was super, super competitive all year long, and it felt like all the games kind of delivered in my expectations. I wasn't surprised that UNM won at all. They were kind of a dark horse team for me. Kind of, they had a low floor, high ceiling kind of potential, I would say, and I think they hit their ceiling, and I think what we saw out of them was just really great basketball and who they could potentially be for a good chunk of the future. Originally, I thought CSU or Nevada was going to win. I didn't think one of the SDSU, Utah State, UNLV teams would win. I just thought they would go and beat up on each other, and by the time they got there into the championship, they'd be too tired to win, but I wasn't surprised at all that UNM won.
Yeah, and the way that this entire tournament kind of plays out, I had Utah State, by the way, to win the entire thing. If I was paying more attention, I probably wouldn't have picked them. I don't feel very often that the regular season winner, I don't feel that they often go on to win that tournament. I always feel there's, you know, something that happens crazy, you know. Nonetheless, that was my pick heading into the thing, and they got bounced before they found that game on Saturday. So congrats to New Mexico, a big one. But this entire tournament kind of, I think, bolstered, you know, a lot of us at least thought prior to Selection Sunday, thought this tournament was going to boost up the Mountain West, prop up the Mountain West. A lot of people thought CSU, if they win one game in the tournament, they should be a lock to make the tournament in the 64, not the 68. A lot of people said that if New Mexico could win a couple of games in the tournament, they'll be locked in. A lot of people said the same thing about Boise and Nevada and all these other teams that made the tournament one way or another this week following Selection Sunday. But now here we are, and it just seems like, yet again, there's Mountain West disrespect when it comes to the seeding and stuff. Austin, we'll start with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, now we're looking at it because after the Rams won against San Jose State, it was like, oh, they're for sure going to be in, no doubt about it. And you're looking at that Nevada game. What if that went sour? We're probably not in the tournament, seeing how everything happened. So like a lot of these teams, they definitely needed those wins. I'm surprised on how Nevada fell, how they did in the tournament. I know they were one of the hotter teams going into the Mountain West tournament. Just seeing Boise State and Colorado State in the play-in, I think that was like one of the more shocking moments and takeaways from the entire bracket, and including those Big East teams. But I mean, just I felt like the Mountain West got absolutely disrespected, especially with how great of a season they had. And the non-conference, it was pretty solid, stacked up to these other teams and other conferences. It was very shocking. I was in disbelief for a while.
Yeah, this is a conference, Damon, that could have had seven teams really get in should a couple of balls bounce a different way for UNLV, and they get six, but two of those are play-in teams. So only four teams from the Mountain West do ink up a spot in the top, or in the top 64 spots for the tournament. I guess your thoughts continue on for what Austin said for the Mountain West disrespect.
Yeah, no, I think... Okay, so just kind of all the aftermath of Sunday, you know, came out last night. Everyone on Twitter is upset, just national media included, about how the Mountain West was seeded. I mean, we're talking about the winner of the conference with the third most bids, tied for the third most bids out of all 32 conferences, and you're putting the winner as an 11 seed. And you look at Nevada, who had been good all year long, they slot in as a 10 seed, and CSU doesn't even make the field of 64 after, you know, everyone considered them a lock. If you look at the bracket matrix prior to Selection Sunday, all 92 bracketologists had CSU safely in the field of 64. So what that made abundantly clear is that the selection committee just did not watch the Mountain West, or they did not watch it with, you know, any care, completely disregarded. And the Mountain West deserved their flowers this year. They're an incredibly great conference, and the fact that they're seated this low and Boise State and CSU are outside of the field of 64 is just ludicrous.
Yeah, that shocked me, and we both looked at each other yesterday watching the Selection Sunday there, and we said, oh, when once we saw Boise get slated in as a first four game, we were very concerned at that point. You can kind of see the same reactions on the players' face when that happened. Max, what was the biggest surprise for you watching these seedings go down for the Mountain West?
I think the biggest surprise for me was just personally, like, I fell in love a little bit with the bracketologists, like, on Twitter and stuff. You see all their predictions. You see CSU's getting slated in as an 8 or 9 seed. And I think the reality was that I got so shocked by the fact that we were playing a team when, in reality, I think we needed every single win that we had this season. And we really didn't need a few of those regular season losses, like that buzzer beater at home or the UNM close loss in the pit, as well as, you know, the San Diego State loss. That's a tough one as well. Not as bad. Wyoming especially was one of those real bad losses, but I think I was surprised, but then a little bit like, oh, okay, this makes a little bit more sense, at least for CSU. I don't really understand Boise State as much. I think the Mountain West did get disrespected, and it's interesting. It kind of put into perspective how much, like, Ken Palm and some of those other rankings really, like, kind of actually affect what goes into that Selection Sunday process.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions for me looking at it when we look at seeding all over the country, but obviously we're sticking more Mountain West here. First and foremost, as you mentioned, Damon, New Mexico being an 11 seed is ridiculous, and the difference between a San Diego State being a 5 seed and everyone else in the conference doesn't quite make sense. Once again, that I think begs back to your point of they didn't really watch a lot of Mountain West basketball. That's not just last week, that's the entire season. I mean, these are teams that were, you know, duking it out. You know, you just had to try to win on your home floor if possible. I mean, how many teams even lost a game on their home floor? CSU lost just the one to the Nevada buzzer beater. The pit, they dropped two in the pit. New Mexico did. I mean, not a lot of road losses were happening, and that was the kryptonite in terms of seeding for Mountain West, not for NCAA, but it seems that the home losses were kind of what affected the standings and the seeding for me. I think this is a much different story should, you know, New Mexico not lose to Air Force in the pit. You know, if Max Rice doesn't go for 35 in the pit, they probably move up a little bit too. But also the Nevada buzzer beater, I think, kind of knocks CSU down a little bit. Now, once again, all of us, I think, were very, at least for me, I was very confident after an Air Force win heading into the tournament that they were, you know, probably set in there and their seating where they were at, and that every win in the tournament, the first one, would definitely just sync things up. If they beat San Jose State, it'd sync things up for them, make it very comfortable, and then every win after that would just be a quad one win that you could add to your resume and make you an absolute lock, and then you could change your seating at that point. And that wasn't the chance, or it wasn't what happened at all, because you looked at the way it went. New Mexico had to win the conference in order to get that 11 seed. CSU had to beat Nevada to even make the first four, because they were literally the last team in to the bracket when it came to Selection Sunday. Any other selection surprises, Austin? We'll start with you for the entire bracket when it came to yesterday's selection. Selection Sunday.
I mean, I'm surprised that Michigan State made the tournament. There was a lot of other Big East teams and some schools across the country that were in, and Michigan State just gets in, like, after the resume that they've had this season. I haven't really seen anything. I know they're going to be a scary team to face in March. Any of those schools that have those coaches that have been there, done that, it's a tough pull in the first round. But I was surprised that they made it just based off of what they've done this season.
Max, what about you? What do you think is what was a surprise when you looked at the bracket, when you watched the selection show yesterday? What was the thought that you had, like, that guy maybe doesn't belong there, that's a bad seating? What do you think?
Honestly, some of the first four out were kind of surprising. Now, it's, you know, it's what deserves. There's the first four in are great teams. You got Colorado, Boise, CSU, but I would have really liked to see some of that Indiana State team with the little bit of white magic on their roster there. I thought that would have been a fascinating team to see in the tournament, and I think it's kind of a shame that they didn't make it. And so some of those teams, the unfortunate reality is I don't really have the answer for who you take out of the tournament, but I think some of those first four out teams would have been fascinating to see, you know, come in and get a slot.
Damon, what about you?
Just like Austin, I was surprised that Michigan State made it. They went 19-14 this year. Sure, they have Tom Izzo, you know, but preseason, you know, they were ranked top five and they disappointed. I don't think that should be rewarded. I think that should be punished. And so it feels like, you know, they rewarded some of those teams that have been historically great and punished some of the teams that are kind of new on the scene and are great now. I was also surprised that FAU made it, and I was surprised that Gonzaga was ranked as a five seed. I think that's insane. The KenPom, the RPI, they looked good, but, you know, if the committee goes too much based off metrics, then that's just bad, because neither Gonzaga nor Michigan State passed the eye test this year, and Gonzaga couldn't even win their conference tournament, despite being in a significantly weaker conference than a lot of the field.
Yeah, the West Coast Conference is one for me that I've always kind of compared the Mountain West to. It wasn't much of it. You didn't know names of the schools coming out of the West Coast Conference, you know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and now Gonzaga is a perennial tournament team. St. Mary's is, you know, working its way up into that area too. And I thought this was the year the Mountain West would make it to the WCC. So I'm glad you brought up the Gonzaga point, because, I mean, these are the Mountain West teams that we're listing off, the six that have already, you know, made postseason play in terms of March Madness and such. I feel are definitely better when he looks at the eye test side of things than Gonzaga. And still, no respect for the poor old Mountain West. But let's talk about some locks and some picks. I really want people's 12-5 picks on here. I've got two of them myself. I like the James Madison draw on Wisconsin. I don't know what it is about that one. That one really excites me. When I saw that one get pulled, I was like, there's your 12-5. But once again, without filling out my bracket, I have a second one, and the second one would absolutely be Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. St. Mary's has the ability to, you know, be really good. They beat the CSU team. They were the first loss of the season for the Rams and Moby, but they've also had some tough ones, some stinkers, and they've always been that type of team. And Grand Canyon was a team that went up against Gonzaga a year ago in Denver, and I like the fight that group did in their very first tournament appearance. I like them potentially. I feel less confident about that one as I do the JMU, but if I'm picking on, when I fill my bracket out here in the next 24 hours or so, those are my two 12-5s. Awesome. We'll start with you.
Well, you mentioned the Grand Canyon and St. Mary's one. That's the one I'm sweating, because those are two really good teams. I think the committee did a great job just matching up with these teams. I think that's going to be like the game of the week in that first round, but I'm sweating that one. I always go and find my 5-12 seeds and try to figure out which one's going to be the upset. I think that one right there, though, it has me worried, because yes, I absolutely see a world where Grand Canyon can win it and they can make a run, but you're going against a St. Mary's team that is a really good team. I mean, we saw how good they are this year and what they can do. So I'm sweating that one. I like it. I think that it could happen too. If you're going to pick any of them, I think Grand Canyon can do it, but they got a tough test in that St. Mary's team. And I think my lock, it's got to be New Mexico, man. The way that they've been playing, the chip on their shoulder, and Jalen House is just playing out of his mind. Toppin has been looking great too. He can cause some problems inside for a lot of teams. And they don't just have one guard that does it all for them. You got Dent, you have Mashburn Jr., and then Washington as well. They have a lot of playmakers, and I just don't I think that that is going to be the absolute lock of the tournament. I think everybody's bracket should have New Mexico winning in the first round.
Damon?
For my 5-12s, I'll definitely agree with you on Wisconsin, James Madison. In every single bracket that I'm filling out, I'm picking James Madison over Wisconsin. I actually disagree with you on St. Mary's. I think St. Mary's is a lock to win that game. I'm just confident in what they do and what they've done historically. That team's going to go out. They're going to rebound. Grand Canyon's not going to get a lot of extra possessions. And the Gales are going to play defense like they have forever. So I think that that's a lock. My other 5-12 upset that I do have, though, is McNeese over Gonzaga. I've liked what McNeese has done a lot, and I don't like what Gonzaga has done at all this year. So they're also a team that I'm picking in every single one of my brackets.
I am personally sweating that James Madison Wisconsin game. I think that's going to be a good game. I think James Madison's a great team, but I think Wisconsin playing in a tougher conference, I think it's going to be a really solid game. I don't really know where to go with that. My lock, though, is going to be NC State over Texas Tech. I really like the Wolfpack. NC State, 5-game win streak against really good opponents too, UNC and Duke, both deep tournament teams. So I really like that NC State over Texas Tech.
Lots of good picks. And Damon, by the way, you mentioned multiple brackets, and I'm widely against more than one bracket every year because it's the cheapest way to get games right.
But ESPN gives you 25, Caleb.
Yeah, that's because viewers like Damon fill them
out. And you know what? I fill up all 25, and all 25 are unique.
I've never made it to 25.
No, I filled out one. And I do it all across all the apps I get invited to. If you fill out more than one bracket, I'll let you have two, maybe three, if you want to like bring CSU all the way to the championship, or you know your favorite college all the way to the championship, or whatever. But you have one chance to do it. And you know what? I appreciate those who stick to one bracket. And Damon, I just lost a ton of respect to you for you. Well, let's move over to the first game of the week. Damon, you and I will be traveling to this, and we were not expecting to pack our bags and go so soon. But CSU playing in the play-in game, they'll take on Virginia for a chance at a 10th seed and a matchup with Texas on Thursday. What are your thoughts ahead of this matchup?
I think CSU has a good shot. I think it's going to be a really good game. We know Virginia defends their absolute butts off, and so you know CSU is going to have to face that, and their offense is going to have to get it going. The matchup really starts with the guards for both teams. You have Reese Beekman for Virginia and Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State, and they really play very similar. I believe Beekman's averaging 14 points and 6 assists, and Stevens 16.5 and 7 assists a game. And so it really starts there. The big thing that CSU is going to have to be careful for is Ryan Dunn on the inside, who is an incredible shot blocker. They struggled really badly with that against UNM. They were blocked 9 times, and JT Toppin kind of took over the game on the defensive end. But I will say the one place where Virginia can get beat is in the interior and on the post. So despite having that rim presence, that's the way that CSU is going to have to beat them. And that comes from Joel Scott. And if you're CSU and you're relying on Joel Scott to get you points in the paint, then I think you have to feel pretty good about yourself with the way that he's been playing over the last month. And, you know, you look at the losses that Virginia's had this year, and in almost all of them, the leading scorer has been the big man down low.
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring up the big men, because that was kind of the conversation of that New Mexico game. Joel Scott, so powerful, so good down low. And it seemed at times that CSU was force feeding him in that New Mexico game in the second half there early, and just not letting the offense kind of get into a flow. Joel just had the ball in his hands every time, and he was getting doubled, all those things. Patrick Cartier was struggling in that semifinal with New Mexico too. Austin, I mean, what do you think about the way that CSU matches up here with Virginia?
Yeah, well, they're different styles, because I would say that CSU plays a lot quicker basketball regarding their offense than Virginia. And that could be a matchup problem if a team's really trying to slow it down and control the tempo in the game. A lot of times in these tournaments, these slower teams can really start to make a run because they're just kind of wearing and tearing on these teams and force them to just go bucket for bucket in that half court offense. But I do think that the Rams, if we're relying on Joel Scott right now, we're going to be in good hands because of how well he's played over the course of the last month. Not just the Mountain West tournament, just closing out that regular season too. He's been our go-to guy. And I think Joel Scott was, you know, the MVP of the tournament for this Rams team with the way he played. He was just he was all reliable. When we needed a bucket, yeah, we were force feeding him in that New Mexico game, but it was like, that's the only guy that's going to be doing any, that can be doing something right now, and that is doing something. But I think that the Rams really need to rely on that inside presence against this team that does like to block shots, hopefully get some guys in foul trouble too, and really control that pace of the game.
Yeah, you mentioned the pace of the game, and a lot of times slower teams tend to frustrate those faster paced teams, and they kind of, you know, make it a little sludgy for them. But CSU in the matchup with New Mexico in that semifinal for the Mountain West Championships, they got sped up, and that they talked about that a lot. It seemed that they got flustered, a lot of turnovers, a lot of issues. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out their offense because they got sped up so much. So maybe that will benefit them here coming into the Virginia thing. What are your initial thoughts on Virginia CSU, Max?
I really think that it'll be whichever team has, you know, it's a quick turnaround for both teams, even quicker for CSU, but I think it'll be kind of the key part of this game is going to be who's going to be able to translate that their matchups, because UVA has been playing ACC basketball for a while now, and Mountain West basketball, I saw a great point made that Mountain West basketball looks a lot different than anything you really see in the ACC, and especially when it comes to CSU being that slow-paced team, and I think CSU will hopefully get to go back to that slow pace and kind of sit back and make those key interior moves to be able to score in the paint, and I think CSU has the upper hand over UVA just because Joel Scott is absolutely red hot, but you never know. I think it matters most whether CSU can kind of rally from, you know, that unfortunate loss to UNM, who turned out to be the champions, and be able to turn it around here in Dayton.
Well, let's look at the entire bracket as a whole before we wrap this thing up. I want your guys' final four picks, and I want your national champion before we get up out of here. We'll start with you, Damon.
So for my final four, I have Illinois coming out of the East. I have North Carolina coming out of the West. I have Tennessee coming out of the Midwest. And I have Houston coming out of the South. And then I have UNC beating Purdue in the championship game.
Zach Eddy, final ride, no championship for him at Purdue. Austin, what do you have for your final four and your championship pick?
That's funny you mentioned that too, because teams that lost the 16 as a 16 seed the year prior are 100% in winning the national championship the next year. I do want to point that out. That's a good poll, but I don't have Purdue in my final four. I got UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and I think that UConn, I know the back-to-back doesn't happen. I think we were talking about it before. Has it ever happened? I can't remember what you said.
So the last time it happened was in 2007 when Florida did it, but prior to that, I don't think it had happened since 1999.
Yeah, but I looking at that East region that UConn's in, I think that they have the best chance to move on and with those teams and get some momentum. And I got UConn winning it going back to back.
My Midwest, I'm a little still unsure on. I got to do a little bit more research, but currently I have Creighton coming out of the Midwest. I have Houston coming out of the South, Arizona coming out of the West, and UConn coming out of the East. And I'm going to, just purely to keep it different, I'm going to go with Arizona as the champion.
Keeping it different. I got UConn. Then I have, oh man, the bottom half is tough, just because I feel like Arizona constantly lets people down every
true.
Single year. They busted numerous of my brackets. I like the thing with UNC, when Damon said UNC, was UNC swept Duke this year. That never happens. No matter how good either team was, it's always been a 1-1 series. So that tells me that North Carolina's on just a different level this year, because while Duke wasn't Duke of old, they're still Duke. It's still not easy to go into their home court and make some noise, but North Carolina did it this year. So because Arizona lets me down, I like North Carolina coming out of the West. I do like Houston. They just seem to be that team. I think last year we had all of our surprise picks. It was fun, right? You had FAU and San Diego State. And this year, I think you're going to kind of see more straight up. The teams that should be there are going to be there. However, one of those teams that should be there that aren't is not going to be Purdue. I don't see Eddie leading his team all the way there. I see a team kind of flustering him with a double team. Maybe they don't get the shooting they need outside. I like Tennessee to get there, only because I used to play with Dalton Connect back in the day in high school. So shout out to him. I got a UConn winning the whole thing. That team is just far and away better than everyone else, in my opinion. There just seems to be some sort of something missing from every team. Once again, Houston, I'm always scared to pick them because they just kind of make themselves, they're a perennial Sweet 16 team, but they don't ever finish a job. And I don't think they'll get it done this year against UConn. So I like UConn and Houston in the final with UConn taking back-to-back championships. Well, I guess we never got our official picks. Will CSU be playing on Thursday? We'll start you with you, Austin.
I think so. I going into this, I think that CSU and the rest of the Mountain West Conference teams in the tourney, they feel disrespected. And I think we're going to see a good showing out of these teams. I think Boise State's going to win and CSU in that first of four. But I got CSU going into it. I'm not that impressed with Virginia, and I think that they're going to be able to get the job done.
Max?
I think UVA has really struggled, whereas CSU's in a tough, and ACC obviously is a tough conference too, but I think UVA has specifically struggled significantly more than CSU has. And I think CSU, as Austin said, has something to prove. They clearly weren't as disappointed as Boise State was when they saw the selection show on Sunday, but I think that Medved's post-game or post-selection thoughts definitely seemed like the team felt disrespected, and I think that should benefit them going into tomorrow. Quick turnaround, which makes me nervous, but I think CSU will be seeing CSU play on Thursday.
Damon?
Max mentioned the quick turnaround making him nervous. I actually think that's an advantage for CSU. I think you look at their non-conference, and what I watched in that non-conference was some amazing basketball. And I mean, CSU didn't just forget how to play basketball. I know they kind of struggled over conference, ended up as a 7 seed, but I think that's more telling of the Mountain West than it is how CSU plays basketball. So, yeah, I think we see CSU kind of return to that non-conference form. Virginia doesn't get a lot of time to kind of scout them, figure them out. And I think that's advantage CSU because I think they have the better offense. And, you know, Virginia's going to want to muddy that kind of game down. But, you know, I think CSU ends up taking this one.
Yeah, so for me, I look at the three maybe most devastating or most frustrating losses for CSU this season. First and foremost, Wyoming. You bounce back, you have to go on, and you have to play the reigning or the runner-up from the national championship of the year, and you control the entire game there in Moby. Now, once again, this is Moby, but nonetheless, you're bouncing off a heartbreaking loss, a frustrating loss in Laramie. You come home, you just dominate San Diego State in your first game back since then. And you look at the Nevada loss. You have Wyoming once again on senior night. You come out a frustrating back to the wall type of situation, and you come out and you play your best basketball. I think CSU feels slighted. They're coming off a frustrating loss against New Mexico, one where they really, I mean, even when they were in it, it never really felt that they were in control or ever really in it against New Mexico. And then you get slighted by the committee, and now you don't have to play for a spot in the tournament. And so I think that CSU will come out with that chip on their shoulder, much like they did against Nevada. I think seeing them play the way they did, put up 85 points against Nevada in the Mountain West tournament, will kind of help them have that confidence coming out. Now, you do have a beast in Virginia when they slow the game down. They're very defensive-minded. But you have a San Diego State in your conference that does the exact same thing, and was a team that is good enough to make a final run as they did last year. So I like Colorado State in this. Will I be nervous? Absolutely. It's March Madness. You never know what's going to happen, but it's going to be a fun ride. And hopefully we're in a couple of cities and over this week, and CSU can maybe even make an appearance past the first round or two, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I'm pumped, man. I don't know. Just filling out the bracket today, I'm just like, dude, this is going to be a fun March. There's a lot of good teams out there.
Yep. Well, it all will tip off tomorrow with the first four games. I'm not sure the other, but we have four games over the next 2 days. CSU will play at 7:10 Mountain Time. Should be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys tune in. If they win, it'll be on to Charlotte, where they'll take on Texas as a number 10 seed. That'll be a lot of fun. So everyone, enjoy March Madness. Enjoy these next few weeks of basketball. And first and most definitely enjoy Isaiah Stevens while we got him. Could just be down to our final couple of minutes at any moment in this month of March. So appreciate everyone for listening. Keep it locked to all of our social media channels throughout the week. We're going to have plenty of stuff coming out from Damon, myself, some CTV stuff. We have plenty of stuff coming out over the next couple of days. And we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.